of stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it. Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
Oh my God.
Beautiful music. I love hearing that.
All right. I kid because I love. Richard Roper is here. He's about to give us his review of the new Star Wars film. And there is a bit of a spoiler alert on the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times. I hate to hate to mention that it's
the entire cover of the Chicago Sun-Times.
I cannot wait to see what the circulation numbers are for tomorrow on this, because it is so interesting to me how, first of all, Richard, as you know, people are they're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when it comes to this particular franchise.
Absolutely.
So crazy. Let me tell you a little story. That Connor McKnight, you're familiar with him, right?
Of course.
Yes. Connor McKnight, he does the sports here on the Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis from 3 to 7 every afternoon. And then he's got a weekend sports show that he does that garners millions. And I the thing is that he comes into our office today and he says, "Use me." Now,
what?
I have never.
You didn't know how to make. We have to
I
make
didn't
of
know
that.
What to make of that. I'm like, no. I don't. You know, I've heard it before, but I've never, never
different context.
Never from a guy.
You know what I mean.
And it was so. And he's like, "I'm such a Star Wars. You have no idea." And he goes through this list of bona fides, mm-hmm. as they like to say,
yeah.
why he should be in the studio to ask you questions about this. So I'm going to let, after you give us your initial review,
okay.
I'm going to let Connor ask you all the questions that the super fans would ask.
Okay? All right.
Because I've just seen, quite honestly,
uh-huh.
I've seen the first Star Wars
uh-huh.
and the first two Star Wars, I think, actually.
And that's it?
That's
you
it.
Were good after that?
I was pretty good
and
after that.
And that was way back in the day? Or
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I loved it, but I just never, you know.
You're like, I get it. There's the furry guy that's friend right. with the rebel guy, and then they're funny hair on the one girl, and then the one guy go like that and everything.
Yeah, I got it.
So what you're saying is, instead of Connor McKnight, it's almost like Connor Comic Con here. So like Comic Connor,
yeah.
as we've got here, representing the nation. All right. Well, Connor, I actually I'm a fan, but I'm nowhere near your level of knowledge and passion. But I really did try extra hard in my on camera and my print reviews, my online reviews, to not give away anything, which is, you know, not the easiest thing
it's
in the world because you
want
to describe what's happening. Because I do believe you really want to get the purity of the experience. And I will say this. They did an amazing job. Everybody involved with this movie, they did an amazing job of keeping those secrets from all of those annoying leakers and hackers and bloggers and people that just love to ruin it for everyone else. Because I could say, seeing the movie, I was genuinely surprised and delighted by a lot of things that happened. And I'm just going to say that much by it.
Wow.
And maybe that's too much for you.
Well, isn't that all
things happen. It's 2 hours and 16 minutes, Connor. There are going to be plot developments.
I can't believe it. I want to cry. Like, that's all I can say is that happened.
I actually heard from a guy today who was mad at me for saying that Harrison Ford is wonderful as Han Solo. And it's really cool seeing him because, as you recall, he was this young actor when Star Wars came out. And Harrison Ford's a great movie star, but not a great actor. Not the most natural performer on screen. He was pretty stiff in those movies, and it kind of worked for his character. But now, playing Han Solo in a movie that's basically set 30 years after The Return of the Jedi, so it stands to reason that he'd be in his 70s. It's natural, because they're humans. They're not these other creatures. And he really seems to be enjoying himself in the role. That's all I said. And a guy calls me, left me messages and tweeted and all that stuff, said, "I can't believe you gave away the fact that Harrison Ford's in the movie. I had no idea." And I'm like, "He's on the poster.
He's giving all kinds of pre-"
Did you think he was just going on those talk shows and saying, "I'm not in the picture, but it looks good," because he's so media friendly?
I have to agree. There's no. I click on all the spoiler alerts because I just get curious, and then I click on the stuff on Twitter and stuff, and there's never anything there behind it until maybe now that'll change.
And you know, once fans start seeing it, people will start revealing things. But Connor, here's what I loved about the film that J.J. Abrams did.
Uh-oh.
He
slowly for him.
He creates, you know, this whole new universe,
and yet lower.
There are so many touchstones to the previous generation of Star Wars. It's natural for those characters to be in that universe, for Han Solo and maybe even some of the others, Princess Leia. And there are lots of little inside references to different things that the true Star Wars geek will get. I'm sure I miss them. But that, having said all of that, it still works as a standalone new adventure. The new characters that we meet, and there's about a half dozen new characters. This Daisy Ridley, who's the lead female here, is not an actress that people know a lot, which I think is a great idea.
Right? And so is the male lead, too,
and,
right?
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea, because just like with the original movie, you know, we don't know these actors. Yeah, and she's wonderful. I mean, it's a breakout performance. One of the cool things about Star Wars from the beginning is it has been an equal opportunity, gender equality, not to mention all the different ethnicities and races and species that are treated sometimes like equals, sometimes not. But she's very, very strong and powerful and brave, and she's the real lead in the film. So there's wonderful performances. And, of course, obviously the special effects are in a different, you know, level than they were, although, you know, in the 70s they were very impressive in early 80s. But, you know, it's a beautiful film to look at, just gorgeous and lush, different planets almost representing the different seasons. There's a very, you know, there's a junkyard planet that's almost all dust and sand. Then there's a very lush tropical kind of, you know, paradise type planet. And then a very cold and forbidding planet that they go to, all representing obviously different emotions and seasons. That's all I'm going to say in terms of what you're going to see in the movie. I think it's great. I think it erases the memory of those other three films.
Oh, thank God.
And the cool thing is, because this, and this is where I know Ro's head starts to spin, but this is the seventh film, but Connor, chronologically, it's the...
Right, chronologically, it would be the
fourth.
Well, it'd be
it's
the fifth. It's
whatever it is. It's after Jedi,
fifth.
Right?
The fourth film. Chronologically, it's the fourth.
It's after Jedi.
How do I know that?
It's the seventh.
So... Yeah. If all
what, chronology are we using?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
They weren't
seven
in order.
One, in terms of time.
Exactly. Yeah. This is seven.
The point is you can watch seven, the original Star Wars, which was called A New Hope, right? Yeah. And then Empire Strikes Back, and then Return of the Jedi, and then this one, The Force Awakens, and you're staying, that's your linear timeline right there. You don't have to see the other ones.
Okay, now let me say this. The J.J. Abrams was on 60 Minutes. They did a piece about him and about taking over this franchise.
Right.
You know, and he's done it. He took over obviously, here's the guy that did Lost, right? He took over, he rebooted the franchise for Mission Impossible and for Star Trek.
Amazing.
And now doing this, you can't, and his wife is still mad at him for not being at home. Huh. And one of the interesting things, and they showed this, there's a scene where your two leads here, the two youngsters who are the newcomers, are running towards something and it explodes, right? You've seen all of this, you know, as part of the promotional stuff. That was not CG. That was a live explosion.
Yeah.
He said that a lot of that stuff was live because he wanted the integration of live stuff happening, because you can't ever quite get it the same way.
Yeah, what they call practical effects. It's the same thing we've talked about Mad Max Fury Road. 95% of that film, people are like, that can't be true. They built all those crazy rigs in that movie and actually had those crazy chase sequences. Same thing here. You know, they filmed in Ireland. They filmed, I think, in Iceland. They were, you know, the famous Pinewood Studios, of course, where you can build entire worlds. And they did have a lot of giant set pieces. So when you see this huge hulking, you know, ship that is now grounded, but people are walking in and out of it, they weren't facing a green screen. Now, I'm pretty sure when they were zipping from planet to planet at the speed of light, some of that might be special effects.
Sure. I think J.J. Abrams said they did it in space. All right, Connor, I want you to now I'm going to give you a moment here to relax before you. We're going to stop, and then we're going to come back, and you get to ask Richard everything you want to know the answer to. And then we'll see if he answers any of it, okay?
Okay, wonderful.
Now, what did you say? Did you give
four stars for Star Wars? It's one of the best movies of the year of any kind, I think. The vast majority of the Star Wars fans who have been looking forward to this, I think they'll find this a rich, sumptuous buffet of Star Warsia.
Wow.
Will.
That's exciting. I get hungry and excited for the movie at the same time.
That'll end up on the DVD box if there were one. Does Richard Roper think that it's going to end up as an Oscar contender?
Best Picture nominee for sure.
Gee.
Wow.
Definitely.
Gee.
Wow. Oh, my God.
No, I'm never going to get a ticket now.
Connor just shed a tear.
I might have to leave.
All right, hold on.
But wait, real quick. Well, people who don't love Star Wars, can you drag them along and they're still going to enjoy this movie?
I think so, because the acting is top quality and the script is good. It's very funny. There's a lot of, and they always have, there's always been good humor in these films. I mean, perfectly timed lines where things are just getting a little bit like kind of crazy and you're like, would this really happen? And then someone there kind of almost comments on that, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what I love about
here
it.
They don't say, are you kidding me? They have better lines
than
that.
Better.
It's the moment Connor McKnight has practiced for his entire life.
He's ready.
America's most valuable thumb is in the studio.
I kind of feel like we're Han Solo and Luke right here.
Richard Roper.
Or maybe Darth Vader and Luke. We don't know yet.
Oh, dear.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Uh-oh.
That line is said in every film, by the way.
I got a bad feeling about it. Yeah, well,
that's said in every film.
I said it during every one of these shows.
Every film until this one. Or is it? I don't know.
I like how you're
Richard
doing
Roper
that, Richard.
Has seen the new Star Wars film. Connor McKnight is as big a geek as ever. He's read every comic book. He's read 30 different.
So here's the thing. I'm so into it that I have to stop you. I have not read every novel. And I feel like I have to say that because there are those out there who have, and they're going to jump down my throat.
But dozens of them. You've read dozens of seen all the films
quite
multiple times.
Quite literally dozens, yes.
What would you like to ask Richard Roper?
So, Richard, with Disney's decision to scrap most of the expanded universe, fanboys and girls like myself are left wondering if there's reference to some of that beloved content. I mean, obviously, we know that Corran Horn and Dash Rendar and Exar Kun are gone, but then, you know,
well, come on, man. I thought you were going to get tough with me.
Well, thankfully, so then are the mistakes of Kip Duron, the courtship of Princess Leia, and the Hapes Consortium. Anywho, the question here is a three-parter. What is the relationship that Kylo Ren has with the Force? Sub-question, the Knights of Ren in any way analogous to the Sisters of Dathomir? Has J.J. built a more believable physical world with the practical effects and fewer lens flares? Lastly, it's well known that he began writing with the premise, who is Luke Skywalker? Is Luke still at heart a moisture farmer from Tatooine, or did his experience on the Force Moon of Endor irrevocably change him into the crazed, power-wielding demigod like his father before him?
Oh, my gosh.
How long is the scene where they execute Jar Jar Binks?
I believe the Washington Post has a question in the back row. We're going to that one next. All right, I'm going to try to answer those questions in order. It's way too textured for me to actually give any of that away to you. No. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent point, and it will be addressed in the film. And then finally, that's for me to know and you to screen.
Wonderful.
Wow.
All right. I can live with all of that.
Those are great.
Well done.
You know the amazing thing I have to say to this? At least three out of those five, I knew exactly, having seen the movie, I knew exactly what Connor was asking me. And if he'd asked those questions before the movie, I would have said, I have no idea what you're talking about. The questions you're asking are actually on point.
Interesting.
Well,
there are answers to some of those questions
in the movie.
In The Force Awakens. There are actually answers to some of those
questions. So, like, the whole credits, when the credits are rolling, I assume in the background is just the execution of Jar Jar Binks. That's just what's going on in the background there. That's just
I think this movie effectively does that for
Thank
us.
Thank God.
In movies like that, they should open up with the funeral of Jar Jar Binks, right? Just to let everybody off the hook.
That would have been kind
of
great.
It's over. Actually, would have been kind of great. It's fine. You're all cheers for 10 minutes.
Right. I will say this is one of the few movies where the opening, we know what happens in the opening credits. There will be cheering in the auditorium.
Yeah.
When you hear that stirring opening, mm-hmm.
And I've heard the final scene is like one of the most amazing things. We're not talking about it, but there's a great ending.
I had a beat traffic. So,
so you left.
I felt it was winding down, and I figured I'd learn eventually. So I don't know what happens at the end.
Are there two more in the pipeline here? Is that
yes.
what we understand? But J.J. Abrams is not attached to them, right?
That's correct. I believe he's not. But May.
Not yet. There's standalone films. You know this. There's standalone films that they're going to do. So next is Rogue One. It's the story of how the Rebels acquired the plans to take the Death Star. After that is the sequel to this one that's out now not named yet. And there's a Han Solo standalone film, Young Han Solo, who's yet to be cast. And then there's a third standalone film that everybody's pretty sure is going to be a story centered around Boba Fett, not necessarily the origin story of the famed bounty hunter. Who lost in the pit of Carcoon, but maybe.
Because Disney paid $4 billion or something for this? Is that right?
$4 billion,
so they got to make their money back. Mm-hmm. So they're going to make about 100 of these. And every action figure imaginable, right?
And Connor's point, I think the next one that actually follows this timeline, I think this thing, after it makes its $2 billion and maybe even wins Best Picture and becomes part of the pop culture legacy for decades to come, I think J.J. Abrams thinks, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and direct that one. I think he's going to feel a responsibility
to continue that
legacy.
Right. Okay.
That's incredible.
All right. I'm sorry that
I'm
we had to go late,
now.
But I just saw that Connor is openly weeping now.
I might not make it.
All right.